God's word helps every area of your life. And it really is a tremendous help because we're bombarded with all these different voices. Everybody having an opinion, everybody having something to say. And they interfere with the things that God brings into our lives. And what we really have going on in our hearts and in our minds, whether we're aware of it or not, is this constant collision between thoughts that are coming from the world and thoughts that are coming from God. They're not the same thoughts. His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. And we have this thing that collides within us. Sometimes we can't even tell why we're troubled about something. And it's frequently this collision that's taking place between the Word of God that's entering our lives and this other thinking that's coming from the world. They're not the same. And so we get this, sometimes even an angst going on inside when it's happening. Knowing God's Word helps you in every area of your life. Paul says in the seventh verse of chapter 5 in Galatians, he says, "You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth?" He said, "This persuasion did not come from him who calls you." In other words, who threw you off your game? Things were going right. It looked like somebody blindsided you. Somebody introduced a thought. Someone came along with a different idea, and they introduce it into your life, and you can get steered away from the truth with that thought. They'll tell you that it's from Jesus, but it isn't from Jesus. This is one of those things you find most common among newbies, young Christian believers. When we first come to the Lord, we're open-hearted and in many cases empty-headed, and we're willing to do anything God wants us to do. I mean, anything at all. I mean, we're all in. We're willing to follow Him and to be discipled and to be trained, to be brought up in the things of God. We're willing to go that route. We're not holding anything back. And I mean, we would go as far as Abraham up on Mount Moriah offering Isaac. I mean, we understand it. We'll go there. We'll do it if you want us to do it. You know, we're all there with Him. And that deep passion combined with our empty heads, it just makes us vulnerable to all kinds of deception, things that come our way that can just knock us off the game, knock us out of the way, push us off, make us, the enemy wants to put us in an area where we're ineffective. And he does that by introducing thoughts and things, deceptions, that really make life a dangerous place for us. We confuse things and we get things twisted, but God is there. And he's there to lead us through those dangerous shoals. He is there to carry us along when we don't understand what's going on. Sometimes we think, like Natalie said, we think in wisdom, and what we're going to go over this evening, we think in wisdom that we would know how it all works. We would understand how it all comes together. We would be able to see, you know, and perceive at this deep, extraordinary spiritual level. And as we'll learn tonight, that's not really what the wisdom of God is talking about. There are those moments when God will give you insight. But I can't tell you how many times in my life I've just been trying to walk with the Lord and I say something to someone, means nothing to me. I didn't see it. It didn't matter to me at all. And suddenly they're just thunderstruck with the wisdom of it or the knowledge of it or how did I know that? Was I reading their mail? And I didn't have a clue. Nothing. Nothing at all. Those kind of things that happen to you, it isn't because that you became, or I became some spiritual giant, and I moved with God at the impulse of His Holy Spirit. There's the impulse going on, and it's all happening, but it's happening with all of us. It's good if you can tune in and get a little closer, get a little drawn in, get a little more, because who doesn't need that big warm hug from heaven? I mean, I desperately need that in my life. But God doesn't give me the answers to all the things that are going on. I know what is right and what is wrong by what is written. That's how I know. It's in my head and it's in my heart because He wrote it for me. Paul said, you know, I wouldn't have known what it meant to covet if He had said, don't do that. So I had to go figure out what it was He meant, and then I realized, boy, I do that all the time. And so then it had an effect on him, you know. We understand because we read and we perceive and we hear the word of God, and the more we hear it, the more our faith rises up to reach out and cling it, lay hold of it, and apprehend that word. Paul is saying to his friends in Galatia that whoever it is that's persuading them about getting, in this case, circumcised and following the Mosaic law, that person or persons is not following God and should not be listened to. That's what he's saying. Because not all voices in our lives are supposed to be given equal weight. We're not supposed to give credence to all the voices that come our way. Some outweigh others, and God's voice and God's word is preeminent. It has all the gravitas. It has all the weight. It has the priority. All of us, as an example, occasionally use snail mail. We mail packages to friends. We mail packages to different folks. And the packages may all go to the same place, but some of them weigh different amounts. Some of them need to be insured for different amounts. And some of them we want to make go there more quickly than others. And we pay a different fee for all of them, even though they're all going to the same place. They're all going to wind up in the same place. But they're not all given equal weight. They're not all given priority. If you want priority mail and you want to get it there quick, you pay more to do that. They're not all treated the same. The thoughts that come into our lives are like that too. They're not supposed to all be given the same weight. Paul wants his friends in Galatia to know that the ideas that have been introduced to their faith are not valid for doing life God's way. And as such, they shouldn't be given equal footing or equal weight among the believers. You know, we're all tempted in our lives to believe things that just aren't so, to lay hold of something and cling to it, and it's just not so. I remember I was ministering, doing street preaching, and I was witnessing to some people on the streets, and this fellow came up to me, and he was what you would call a tulip Calvinist, a 5-point Calvinist, and he believed that if you didn't believe in eternal security, once saved, always saved, if you didn't believe that you couldn't be a Christian. And he was going after these young Christians who had just come to the Lord recently, and he was planting this in their hearts and minds, that they couldn't be believers unless they believed that. And he got to me, and I said, you know, sure, if I die today, I'm saved forever. That's eternal security. That isn't what he was talking about, and that's not what he meant, but I was just messing with him. Because people have been having that kind of discussion for centuries. And for this fellow to have the audacity to stand there and tell all these people that if they don't believe what he believes in this case, they're not going to heaven. I just thought that took a lot of chutzpah and it was over the top. I happen to believe personally that once a person is saved, they're saved forever. And I have plenty of friends who believe that they can lose their salvation. Plenty of them. And they'll point to somebody. They'll say, well, Bobby over there, look at him. I mean, he came to the Lord. I saw him pray the prayer, you know. He came down the aisle. He was weeping his eyes out. Look at him now, you know. He's living like the devil. You know, he was saved and now he's lost it. And my answer is he was never saved. You can cry as many tears as you want to. I can see how they get where they're getting. I just have a different take on that. I don't care if the guy's running down Main Street with his hair on fire. You know, it doesn't mean he's going to be at the next candle party. You know, it's a different thing to me. Now, in that kind of a situation where the beliefs are about, well, once saved, always saved, or eternal security, or you can lose your salvation, that's pretty tame thinking. You know, that discussion shouldn't raise a lot of fur and get the fur flying, and you know, it's pretty. But this thing that Paul is talking about, where these people are coming and saying you can't be a Christian if you don't get circumcised and follow the Mosaic law, that's pivotal stuff. And Paul knows that it is. And when you're dealing with something in your life that comes along and it's a big deal, it's important to know what God has to say so that you don't wind up going out and spending your life in the weeds, that you can stay focused on the things that are important and not be distracted by all the other views and all the other winds that blow your way. As a Christian, we're just not to give equal weight to all the different things that get said. Some are godly, some are not. Give God's views the preeminence they deserve. Who do you have in your life that feeds your mind with things that are ungodly? Views that are contrary to God's views. Who is it? Is it an acquaintance? Is it a friend? Is it family? It can be any number. I mean, it could be that you just hooked on the news. I do know some people who have problems with that. And they love reading all the news. I know those people. I don't understand them at all, but I might even be one. I see them in the morning and I think, just stay out of it, you know? But it can come from anywhere, the thought that is contrary to God's thinking. And we need to know that if we allow that stuff, the space that should be afforded only to worthwhile thoughts, and we give it that space, and we take it in, and we allow it that room, and it takes up residence in there. It's not even paying rent, you know, but it's in our heads, and we have a problem then. We have a problem. And God comes with His Word, and He just collides with that thing, that idea. He keeps colliding with that thought. He keeps colliding with that idea, that concept. The Holy Spirit just takes His Word. He keeps driving in there. And so sometimes you'll have a friend who is really struggling. And they're believing something, their struggle is that they're believing something that they shouldn't believe. And some people believe, well, then you should come alongside them and spend time with them. What I've seen is this, if the person who's coming alongside who's a Christian is really strong, mature, grown up, powerful in the Word of God, it works. When the Christian is not, he's somebody who seldom reads the Word, she very seldom takes a look at the Word, she's not spending time in there, she doesn't pray. She buddies up with that person and she will be dragged down into that other way of thinking, into that other idea, that thing that is not of God. It just seems, that's why the scriptures talk about how important it is the friends you keep. It's just really important to have people there who can speak into your life and you'll listen to them because you trust them and you know you can trust them. They're people that you can hear out and you know they're going to do a good job of keeping you on the straight and narrow. The Bible says that as a man thinketh, so is he. As a man thinketh, so is he. The way that you think determines the way that you live, the way that you behave, the way that you will act. Some people don't get that. Some people think that they can McChicken anything, you know, as long as they don't supersize it, you know. And they can McMeal their way through life because, and they won't gain any weight as long as they don't supersize it. You know, it's not going to really affect them as long as they don't supersize it. I mean, if I don't go overboard with that, I should be okay. And it's not true. I mean, your arteries are going to clog up and you're going to drop dead just with that little McChicken on a regular basis. It's not that you have to supersize everything. It's that seed that gets sowed, that little thought. You know, hath God said? Did He really mean that? I mean, is He not a God of love? Well, yeah, but He's also just and righteous. No, 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 let's not look at the holiness of God. Let's just talk about the love. No. God is love. I don't know. But He is holy. Well, then we don't want to go there, you know. Let's just deal with the love of God. Hey, I'm all for the love of God. And I preach the love of God. But it isn't at the expense of the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, the justice of God, the power of God. It's in combination with all of those things. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. That's actually the next verse we're going to look at. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. It means that, you know, we talked about it last week. You know, you get a little yeast in the dough, and it's this little bitty thing, you know, and you get a little yeast in there, and you come back a few hours later, and it's woof. It's all puffed up. It's all, the leaven worked its way through the whole dough. That bacteria, that's what it is. It's bacteria. It gets in there, and it just, boom, you've got the whole loaf done. That's the way these thoughts are. That's the way this stuff works in our lives. A little bit of it gets in there, and it just sows this ornery little seed. And it just doesn't want to let go, and the Word of God comes along, and it just collides with it. Boom. Now, what happens normally if it's two people that are friends, and the one is strong, usually the one who is off in the weeds, the collision is going to take place. I mean, it's going to happen again and again. The one that's wrong will repent and change or they'll leave. If the one that says the Word of God is weak, they just get dragged down into the muck. And they have to repent too. But sometimes it's just such a waste of time. I mean, it just takes a long time to get back. And it's you know, God can work with it, but it's just better to know God's Word. You and I are responsible for guarding our hearts. The pastor comes along and he shepherds your heart. He shepherds your life. But he has to give an account for what he's taught you. He has to give an account for the direction he leads you. He has to give an account for the things that he says that are of God or of not of God. But when it comes to your heart and your life, you're on the dime for that. You're responsible for your own heart and guarding your own heart. Guarding it so that only those things that belong there get there. It belongs to each one of us alone. It is our responsibility before God. Verse 9 says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. Galatians 5:9. And Paul says in 10, I have confidence in you in the Lord that you will adopt no other view, but the one who is disturbing you will bear his judgment, whoever he is. And he says, but I, brethren, if I still preached circumcision, why am I still persecuted? If I did it, then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. I wish that those who are troubling you would even mutilate themselves. Ooh. Verse 13, for you were called to freedom, brethren, do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. The one who puts forth ideas contrary to God bears the judgment for doing that. He is responsible for putting forth ideas that are contrary to God. Paul isn't out there, he doesn't even know who he is, obviously, here. He doesn't know who it is. But he knows that God will deal with that kind of thing, especially when they're messing with Christians in the body of Christ. Each person will give an accounting to God for their behavior and their words, even every idle word, even the things that are off the cuff. And Paul says, look, if I was preaching what that person is preaching, I wouldn't be persecuted. If what Paul calls the stumbling block of the cross would be abolished, done away with. He said, if I was just saying, look, get circumcised, follow the Mosaic law, Jesus is your Savior, nobody would persecute me. I could do that all day long. But that's not how it works. If you're going to put the Mosaic law in there and circumcision, you're going to say that's a requirement for salvation, then Jesus and forgiveness and grace have to take a back seat to it. He knows that. And he's saying that's not how it works. So the thoughts you have in your head mean something. The thoughts you bring into your life, they matter to you. If you want to go through life dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's, you actually wind up revolting, going into revolt against the scriptures, against Jesus. It's revolution against Jesus. So Paul says that there's this huge difference between salvation through Christ alone and the idea of salvation in the Mosaic law and the Jewish tradition, and they're not the same, and the results of thinking those different thoughts aren't the same either. One results in new life, eternal life, a going on with God. The other results in this exhaustion from this myriad of vain attempts to please God with our own efforts, something that is impossible to do. It is in Christ that you please Him. It's in Jesus and through the forgiveness that God brings. Then we are pleasing to God. It's when God looks at you and He sees Christ. That's when you're pleasing to Him. Verse 12 says, I wish that those who are troubling you would even mutilate themselves. A different translation put this different ways, but Paul is painting a word picture here. He's saying, in fact, it's a word picture that some consider a little too vivid, that if these people want to have circumcision, he's saying, just become eunuchs. Just go the whole route. You know, you want to do this, just, and I think what he's saying by that is he wishes that they would just cut themselves off from calling themselves Christians. They would cut themselves off from the church, or that the church would cut them off. That they would just be separated. They would, because when they mix that other stuff with Jesus Christ, they emasculate the power of the church, the power of the Holy Spirit. They take away the moving. Paul said, were you healed because you followed the Mosaic law, dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's, or were you healed by faith in Jesus Christ? And the answer is absolutely healed by faith in Jesus Christ. It doesn't come some other way. So he's saying they should be cut off. They should be emasculated. They should become eunuchs, and their ideas should be emasculated. Sometimes I see Christians struggling with views that are contrary to Christ, and I do wish those who are troubling them would just leave them alone and go away. But wishing won't make it so. The best policy remains the renewal of our minds in the Word of God. Reading and studying, memorizing scriptures backed up with prayer is the best means I know of to renew your mind. And what I did was I took a series of scriptures, I didn't even count how many, and I put them in a format where you can just read through them one after another, and they just flow one into the next. And I want to read that with you. You have that with you. This is about renewing your mind. We'll start with Ephesians 4:17. And I'm not going to read all the references, give you all the chapters and verses, but I'm just going to read the text, okay? Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, as the non-believers, in the futility of their minds. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, If there be any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things and be renewed in the spirit of your minds. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Let the wisdom of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. To the pure, all things are pure. To the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their minds and their consciences are defiled. As for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They're to teach what is good and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Be sober-minded, watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Your word, O God, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you, and have put on the new self which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Sometimes when I'm preaching, I'll just start as I'm speaking, and the scriptures will just start to roll like that. And what you're hearing is like perhaps a Reader's Digest version or a version that has some of my input in it as well, and hopefully I keep it in tune with God. I'm not out there in the sticks. But this is the kind of thing that is powerful in your life. If you were to take those texts, just those verses, and you memorize those, and in every day you just let that soak in you, and you went through that text, or every day you just read it through again and again and again. If you did that, that would adjust your life in ways that today are unseen. You cannot see what's going to come of it, but I can guarantee you God, the Holy Spirit, will take that word of God that you have incorporated in your life. He will take that and he will use that, because you're giving him ammunition to use. You're loading the magazine doing this. He's going to give you firepower in your life to deal with all kinds of situations. And putting on that new self, having that new life flow through you, and then filling your mind and renewing it, will take you forward in life at a pace that is so much faster than the other thing that happens, where people sort of get into the Christian malaise, where they're sitting on the bus bench waiting for that trip to heaven, and nothing's really going on and never really happens. And folks, doesn't have to be like that, not supposed to be like that. You're going to provide the Holy Spirit with all kinds of ammo if you just do this stuff. I guarantee it. I guarantee that he will use it. I can guarantee it. Because Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would take what is his, and he would speak it to us. He would confirm it in us. He would teach us with it. Verse 13 in chapter 5 of Galatians, Paul says, "For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only don't turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another." Through love, serve one another. I want to say, do you have any questions? You know, that's where I really want to go with that. Let's do that. Do you have any questions? All right, then let's pray. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for blessing our lives and ministering to us. I thank you for your precious word, which is able to define and divide and to help us separate truth from fiction and truth from falsehood. And it cuts the light from the darkness, Lord, and it divides the bone from the marrow. And it's such a clean tool that you use in our lives. Thank you for it, Lord. I pray that it would dwell in us richly. It would just live in us, Lord, that when we speak, the word of that is yours would just come out of us more and more and more. That the stories of your scriptures, Lord, would flow out of us like rivers, Lord Jesus. That we would be available at all times to give an answer for the faith that lies within us, because your word is just so rich and full inside of us. Thank you, Lord God, for all of it. For all of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.